I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Zurich Classic, a team event. I've got my teammate right here. It's Greg Ducharme. Hello, Greg.
Let's get after it, Rick. What do you say?
Let's end this thing.
Yeah, I'm fired up for this. It's pretty cool. I don't know who's going to win for the first time in what seems like 5 weeks. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting test. It's back to the old school handicapping days, but it's going to be fun nonetheless.
Scottie Scheffler not playing this week. So it is open season out there. Just about anybody could raise the trophy or put the belts on. No. Are the belts for the PNC? What do they get for winning this?
Rick, you're the trophy guy.
I know. I think they get belts for this too, don't they? Crystals and a belt?
That would be pretty cool. They should.
I don't remember. Maybe just the trophy. Maybe just the crystal trophy. I think the belts is PNC.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyway, here's the deal, Greg. We have to discuss what in the world is going on this week and how this differs from a normal week from a fantasy perspective. Because, as mentioned, team event, two rounds, one round of best ball, one round of alternate shot, cut. Best ball, alternate shot. But for fantasy purposes, you can only draft one member of each team. You cannot draft both Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. And it doesn't matter which one you pick because the points are going to be the same no matter what happens.
Right. A team birdie, they both get a birdie. Right. A team bogey, they both suffer the consequences. So you're drafting teams, which is the right way to do it. And it's a cool element. So if you want Xander Cantlay, they cost $11,200, and it's a package deal. In essence, you're drafting 12 players this week. And what they do as a team, it all counts. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a cool little setup. They will be playing four ball foursomes. And the easy way to remember this, if you're reading any literature on it, is four sums. You hit the ball some of the time. That's alternate shot. Four ball. There are four balls in play. And that's what is commonly known as best ball or better ball.
I always remembered it because four balls in play. And then I just remember, okay, well, that means foursomes is the other one.
Right.
But
you can do that too.
Some of the time, that's great. I love that.
Yeah, that's how I remember it. It makes it so easy. Oh, some of the time. And four ball, oh, that's the other one. And there's four balls in play. It makes sense.
Or it's four ball and you hit it all the time.
There you go.
It's like they made it this way.
It's like somebody designed it. They planned it out to be memorable.
So those are two very different styles, Greg, right? When we play for ball or best ball, there's going to be guys on 59 watch, right? I mean, they are going to go very, very low, alternate shot or foursomes where you're hitting the ball some of the time, a lot more difficult.
Significantly more challenging. And there's also another area is when you think team golf, you think, oh, well, your partner can bail you out. You got help. And you also think, oh, well, their games seem like they would mesh nicely. I got a great driver and a great iron player. That would be great. Or a great ball striker and a great putter. That's a great combo. But your partner can only bail you out in four ball. Because your score doesn't necessarily have to count. That's where you see guys get a little more aggressive. They may push the envelope a little more because there is that element of backup. Hey, I'm going to go first. I'll bash driver. If it doesn't work out, you can be more conservative. If it does work out, you can bash driver too. And we can both try to go make a birdie. And for sums, now the combination of games becomes more important. And strategy also becomes very important as well. So they are very different, combinations, and it creates a nice mix up in this event.
I'm glad you kind of hit on a couple of different ways to look at this. So let me get your thoughts on which of these you might prefer. You have two guys with similar skill sets. You have two guys with complementary skill sets. Maybe one's a great driver, one's a great second shot player, the other one's a good putter, et cetera. Or what about experience, Greg? Guys like Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele have a lot of alternate shot experience. They have a lot of experience playing this type of thing, like whether it's President's Cup, Ryder Cup, if you want to extend it to QBE Shootout or any of these other formats that we have seen this played before. Those are kind of the different styles you might be looking at when you're going through the teams.
Couple interesting things on experience. There's not a ton of experience in this field. Cantlay and Schauffele have experience. I think you would pick them no matter what because they're such great players. So I as far as fantasy purposes are concerned, looking at combined strokes gain total would be something that I think is very valuable, probably more valuable than experience. In the case of Schauffele and Cantlay and McIlroy and Lowry, they have both. So it makes a lot of sense. And also the Ryder Cup, the guys that make the Ryder Cup tend to be the better players. So if you have that Ryder Cup experience, you're probably also rating very high in the combined strokes gain total. As for the comparison of games, complementary games, games that mesh well, this also has to do with general ability. Like, are you really trying to pick guys who you think might ham and egg it really well together? I think that's a difficult game to play.
I agree.
And so I'm much more worried about, well, how are these guys playing? If you get two guys that are playing really well at the same time, I'm less concerned about their skill set. We're not playing in a scramble. If this was a scramble and you hit the tee shot, both hit a tee shot, pick the best spot, both hit from there, pick the best spot, that might be a different story. But you're going to play your own ball or you're going to play from where your partner hits it. And the weakest link often carries a lot of weight in that format.
100%. Yes, that I agree with basically every word that you just said. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump headfirst into this. I mean, there are some interesting teams. There are some teams that I wonder how they got together. And we're going to have to try to parse through the good, the bad, and the ugly for this week. We are going to start that process after a quick word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating
workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. And we're back. Okay, Greg. Okay, Troy, if you want to share my screen, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Okay, Greg. So I've loaded this into my site, rickrungood.com, and it's a little bit different for this week. You're going to see me jumping around a lot because, you know, the site's not necessarily designed for two players at the same time, but I do have some items where, like you mentioned, combined strokes gained, you know, last 36 rounds, Cantlay, Xander, Rory, Lowry, they're one and two, right? So I'm going to bounce us through a lot of different stuff here, but let's look at the four teams that are the most expensive. That is Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, they're 11,200. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, they're 10,700. Will Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala are 10,003. And the only other team above $10,000 is Colin Morikawa and Kurt Kitayama. So let's start there, Greg, and see what we can figure out.
Okay. Xander Cantlay makes just a ton of sense. You're talking about Xander Schauffele, who may be the second best player in the world all around right now. His form has continued. It was a little slow at the RBC Heritage, but all in all, he has been great. And you add to the mix now his partner, Patrick Cantlay, who is coming off his best finish by far in a PGA Tour event at a spot that he typically plays well at. And now you kind of combine the two, and they both play well together, and they've played well together here and won this event as a pair. So they are a very clear first choice, in my opinion.
Agreed. They are a very clear number one. They have a win, a fourth, and an 11th in the last 3 years. I will mention, you know, it's kind of a volatile volatile format to have three straight top 11s together, with one of them being a win, plus everything else that you mentioned about how great they are, the Ryder Cup stuff, the President's Cup stuff. That's an unbelievable record.
Yeah, you check all the boxes. You know, they play, which is not typical for Americans. They play the foursomes format really well together. Their games are similar, but they also could mesh with anybody because they're both so well-rounded. So yeah, this is the complete team. They set the standard. They are the best team, and I think they're worthy of playing. Now,
So the gold standard, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, if not them, then who?
Yeah. Well, my next favorite team would probably be Sahith Theegala and Will Zalatoris.
I'm with you.
Now I'm skipping Rory and Lowry. Part of that is Shane Lowry's putting has been terrible, and I fell victim to that last week. And so maybe there's a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth with that. But Theegala and Zalatoris are phenomenal, both of them. Sahith Theegala has made such a big stride this year in his game. He is so complete, and it's really fun to watch. So I love what he can do with his iron play, what he's done, especially this year. He can get super hot on the greens. He can be an absolutely great putter, which I think can go a long way when you kind of have to get hot in this event. I mean, you got to get to 20 under at least to really have a chance. So somebody's going to have to be filling it up and making putts. And I think that's a really nice mix for Will Zalatoris, who I typically wouldn't like in a birdie fest. But having a putter on your team like Sahith Theegala could be a huge asset.
Yeah. So it'll allow for a little bit of pressure off of Zalatoris on the putting greens, even if it is, hey, I know my partner also has a look for birdie or a look for par. We have two cracks at this, or he's only going to hit half the putts in alternate shot, right? And to your bigger point, Sahith has elevated his game to a completely different level. I mean, just these top finishes recently: fifth in Phoenix, sixth at Bay Hill, ninth at the Players, runner up at the RBC Heritage. And it's not like he's missing cuts outside of that. I'm just highlighting his best finishes at the biggest events. He has turned into a really, really solid player.
Yeah, consistent, steady, hasn't missed a cut since the Sony Open. And he's kind of changing the tune on what we thought about Sahith Theegala when he first came out. Kind of seemed wild, inconsistent, with a lot of potential, and he's brought his floor up significantly higher. And then you partner him with Will Zalatoris, who kind of has a pretty high floor and is a elite player. And we kind of know that inherently. His ball striking is just so solid. I have to think this is probably my second favorite team. I can't believe I'm skipping McIlroy and Lowry.
Right. So you mentioned it with Lowry. I gave him a pass for losing 7 strokes putting at Augusta National, but I don't think I can give him a pass for losing another 7.5 last week at Harbortown. So now we're down 15 strokes to the field over the course of 2 starts. The good news is he does get Rory McIlroy. These guys have played together in Ryder Cups in the past, but there's just something about this team that does not breed a lot of confidence for me.
Yeah. And it could backfire. I have a larger take on Rory that now that the Masters is past us, it's almost like the season is divided into two, where there's pre-Masters and post-Masters. And I really like Rory post-Masters. I think he is going to have a great year, but he hasn't played a lot here. He hasn't ever played here.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever played it as a member of a team. I don't know if he's ever played it. No, he's never played it even as an individual, because this wasn't always a team event.
Right. Right. I believe Billy Horschel won the last individual version.
I believe he's still won last week. Who has won it as a member of a team and a member and an individual.
I believe that's right.
Greg, who's the guy who's won it twice as a member of a team? I mean, let me look this up and make sure I have it right.
Why do I want to say Ryan Palmer?
Ooh, that's not who I was thinking of. Ryan Palmer won it with
Rahm.
With John Rahm. And he's had some good partners along the way, but he only has one win.
Ah. Who's won it twice
with different partners in each one?
Is he playing this week?
He is. Yeah. That's a loaded question.
I know who it is. Mark Leishman.
Okay. His partner.
Cam Smith.
Cam Smith.
Yeah. Cam Smith
Cam Smith and Jonas Blixt won the very first team event. And then Leishman and Cam Smith got together, and both of those were won in a playoff. They beat Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel.
Yeah, that was tough for Louis and Charles.
I'm pretty sure one of them dunked it in the water on the play in the playoff, right?
Yeah, I think it was Louis immediately.
Yeah, for like tee shot in the playoff, splash.
Yep, done, over.
Yeah. Anyway, so a little bit of a tangent there. So technically, Cam Smith is playing this week.
Not at this event.
And then the only other team here, Greg, is at the top is Morikawa and Kitayama. Good buddies. They're both Vegas guys, but I don't want any of this.
Nope. I have my concerns. Morikawa feels a little like fool's gold. We talked about that yesterday quite a bit on the podcast. So I'm a little worried about that. And Kitayama, I like his game, but his form hasn't been... it hasn't been enough for me to put up 10,000 for that team. I have enough concerns.
Yeah. Big difference between those guys and the other guys that just are a little bit more expensive. Okay. The 9K range. So this is where we start to get a little bit of a bigger range. So we've got the Fitzpatricks. That's Matt and Alex. We've got a pair of Canadians in Pendrith and Connors, Tom Hoge and Maverick McNealy, another set of Canadians, Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin, the Højgaard twins, Rasmus and Nikolai. And then we rounded out with Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So what do you want to do here?
Okay, I think my favorite team is in this range. Okay. You probably know who I'm going with.
I'm not sure that I do, but actually I might. Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin?
No, good guess. Yeah.
Okay, then it's Hoge McNealy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That was going to be my first pick, but then I got thrown off by the Desert Fox.
Yeah. We're not in the desert, and I love Nick Taylor too, but they haven't been great as of late. I think they're actually my second favorite Canadian team. I think I prefer Connors and Pendrith.
Wow.
How the mighty have fallen. Look, we got to be unbiased here. Mm-hmm. And so this is just an unbiased opinion. I think Connors and Pendrith are the Canadian team to beat. Taylor Pendrith coming off a T11 down there at Corrales Punta Cana, hopefully righting the ship and getting this season back on track. And playing alongside Steady Eddie, Corey Connors, I think could be a really good sign.
That Hoge McNealy team has been combined strokes gained just as good as Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry have been over the last 36 rounds. You get Hoge, the flusher, and he's been putting well. And then you get McNealy, who's striking it better and has always been a great putter. These two, I'm with you. I love these two.
Yeah, this is sweet. And you look at Hoge, and he didn't have a great approach week last week. Gained nothing, lost nothing. And the situation on 18 had to play a role in that. So I think that affects those statistics a little bit. But he's been putting. You got two very competent putters. You got a guy who's been driving it great in Maverick McNealy. And Tom Hoge's the flusher of all flushers. And he'll come out this week and flush. So I think that team could be a kind of, maybe they're not a sleeper, but you know, they could be a non-favorite to win.
I will say there was a lot of conversation around the Fitzpatricks last year, which I did not necessarily think was super warranted, because at the time Alex was, he had no status anywhere, and it was just like a gift from Matt to play this event. He does have status on the DP World Tour. He's been playing a lot better. This is by far the best he's played in a long time. He finished 23rd in Punta Cana last week. I don't know if they're going to figure it out, but it's different this time around for me.
Yeah, he's a real touring professional. You know, he's got a legitimate game. He can play, and there's got to be a sense that he belongs here. Obviously, he wouldn't be here if it weren't for Matt Fitzpatrick, because he's not a PGA Tour player, but he's a legitimate touring professional. So yeah, that team has probably elevated from last year. But Rick, I don't think they're the best team of brothers.
Oh.
I mean, Rasmus and Nikolai, that could be one, you're not gonna be able to tell the difference. I think either if they're playing alternate shot, whoever wants to hit it can hit it.
Yeah, what they should really do is wear the same outfit. And then you know when you go to a baseball game and in between innings it comes up on the screen and it's like, you know, three baseball caps and one hat goes underneath.
Yes.
Baseball goes underneath and they mix them all around. If they just wear the same outfit and then just like start spinning around in circles and then come out, we'll have no idea which one's which.
They just walk in a little weave, a figure eight, mix it up every once in a while. You're not sure who's who, and whoever's hot can hit the shot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
that's a sneaky advantage that they certainly won't be taking advantage of. But these guys are like prototypical superstars. They are what's coming in the pipeline to the PGA Tour. And if it weren't for Matthew Pavone, they would both be on the PGA Tour.
That's right.
So these guys are just so good. And while their strokes gained total may not rank as highly as you'd think, I think their talent level certainly does.
Yeah. And a really nice spot to get kind of two guys. I mean, this obviously there's going to be very few, if anybody, more comfortable than this team out there. They're $9,100 and I'm with you. They might be, I think I would, especially considering the price, I would play them before I played the Fitzpatricks.
I would too. So I would go McNealy, Hoagie, Højgaard. And I just have a feeling that Connors and Pendrith is a good play. Not fun. It's not exciting, but I think that'd be my third option.
Okay. Well, we've got more to get to. The names get more interesting and the questions get louder about how do these two even know each other? But we're going to get to those guys and much more after a quick word from our partners.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. There's an interesting question in the chat in regards to one and done. Someone said, Jake said, in one and done, do you have to pick both golfers this week? Well, I will just put out a PSA. The run your pool first cut one and done has no selections this week. So take the week off. Enjoy. We'll catch you at Byron Nelson.
Yep. Bye week.
Depending on other one and dones, the more common way to do it, Greg, is you pick one golfer, get access to both. So if you've already used Rory McIlroy, you could conceivably choose Shane Lowry and get access to both of those guys. So that is how normally these work. And then you find yourself picking like the weaker player on the best team.
Exactly. You'd pick Alex Fitzpatrick to get access to Matt Fitzpatrick.
Right. Or if you really want Morikawa, you pick Kurt Kitayama.
Right. Right. Or you take Rasmus Højgaard, not Nikolai.
Correct. You would never pick the better player.
But you got to check your rules because we did it last year before we had run your pool where you had to take both.
That's right. So always double check because we have played it where you burn both. And
yeah,
that's out there. So just check your rules. But
savage.
Yeah, it's pretty
dirty. I've seen it, Rick, with double points.
Double points, double burn?
Double burn, double points. It's like a major at that point.
I don't mind it. The 8K ranch. We've got Billy Horschel with new partner, Tyson Alexander, Keith Mitchell, Joel Damon, Taylor Montgomery, Ben Griffin, Bo Hostler, and Sam Ryder. Then we round this thing in the middle with Dietrich and McIntyre, Rye and Lipsky. The bottom is Gim and Kim. That's Doug Gim, Chan Kim, Daniel Berger and Victor Perez, Davis Thompson and Andrew Novak. And then at $8,000 flat, Andrew Putnam alongside Joe Highsmith. And we round it out with Ryan Fox and Garrett Kiggo.
Cool range. I think there's a lot of options. Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander are, I think, a legitimate play here. Very good fit. Billy Horschel has a great record here. And I think Tyson Alexander is actually pretty good. His results, you haven't seen him on a lot of leaderboards. He's missed some cuts, but narrowly. And that kind of seems to be where he hangs out. He spends a lot of time around the cut line, but he can make them. And Billy, coming off a win last week, has, you know, that's not really out of nowhere. He has made some significant strides in his game this year. And if you want to give yourself a lot of birdie opportunities, which you do here, Billy, before last week, was all the way up to seventh in greens of regulation for the year. And then he goes out and wins. So I haven't seen the updated updated stats, the official stats, but it's pretty darn good. So I think that's a legitimate team at 8,900.
I joke at times that Billy Horschel cares way too much about events like this, but I also think it brings the best out of his partner. Right now he's gonna get a downgrade. No offense to Tyson Alexander. I mean, we know that Sam Burns is better than Tyson Alexander, but I think that Billy Horschel could will the most out of him. And this is the best that Billy's been playing leading into this event for a long time.
Yes, and Tyson Alexander is not a throwaway.
No, he's not.
He's no star, but he's no throwaway either. So a very worthy partner. So I do like that team. And I like them quite a bit. There are two other teams, maybe three, but I think two other teams. I think Chan Kim and Doug Gim are interesting.
Chan Kim is quietly putting together some decent results.
Yeah. Tied 14th at the Valero Texas Open, tied 6th at the Corrales Punta Cana. And even in Houston, he hit the ball really well, really well. He was tied 8th back in Mexico. So he has performed very nicely. And Doug Gim is just a flusher. You know, he's just a ball striking Jesse. And he hasn't been putting great, and the results haven't been great. But I still think that he is a extremely valuable partner to have. And you're getting him at a great price.
Yeah, so he's the putter, which it looked like he fixed, has started to cool off a little bit, but I mean, he's still great from tee to green. Chan Kim's playing great golf. These guys could fill it up in a big way.
Yeah. So they're very much in play. I think you're going to like this team. My third choice.
Okay.
Andrew Novak.
Yeah.
Davis Thompson.
That's my favorite team.
Right. This is a great team on paper. Don't know how they know each other.
There's probably a Sea Island connection.
Okay, that would make sense.
But I don't outside of them both being St. Simon's guys, I don't know.
Novak just hits it so good. And I want a partner like that. And the results have been very steady. I mean, he missed the cut at the Players, but that's really it since his three straight top tens. And then you got a couple of made cuts, but nothing special in Texas. But you add in someone like Davis Thompson, who has been putting really well this year, and also mixing in some pretty decent results. Tied 18th last week down in Corrales, tied 21st at the Houston Open. You know, he's mixed in a couple of good ones. Tied 15th in Phoenix, another top 25 in Mexico. You know, this guy can really play. And I think that team, they both make each other stronger.
this, yes, this is just, if I fast forward to Sunday night and this team is in the mix, you'd be like, of course they are. I mean, this is the type of team that wins these things or plays well in these things. It's two guys who are above average PGA Tour players who can get hot, who have probably great vibes, who have everything to play for, who are playing well. Like this is just go out and play some golf with zero expectations. Let's see how low we can go and try. I mean, it's like Davis Riley, Nick Hardy, but better.
Definitely better, right? Because they've put up legitimate results. You know, they've recorded top 25s and top 10s consistently this year. Davis Riley and Nick Hardy, their games kind of make sense, but their results leading in didn't.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's better.
It's better. Yeah, that's my favorite team. They're $8,100. I agree with you. The Doug Kim, Chan Kim, they might miss the cut. They might win the golf tournament, but I think that they can fill it up. And then, yeah, I'm not as keen on this range. I think like Dietrich and McIntyre would be fine. I think Horschel and Alexander would be fine just because Billy is going to gut this thing out no matter what. Yeah. So
yeah. There'll be no quitting him.
I think there's going to be a lot of attention on Keith Mitchell and Joel Damon, which I'm not here for.
I am staying away from big time. So there was one other team that I'm marginally, I really just want to get your thoughts. Mm. And that is Daniel Berger and Victor Perez.
Yeah. Cause Perez has been playing probably better than people realize. And yes. I'm not sure what Daniel Berger is right now. Right. I mean, we're getting a guy who doesn't play a ton. And when he does, it's okay. Right. He's still a great ball striker. He's struggling with the flat stick. Maybe this is kind of the thing that he needs, like a little bit of help, right? Just yeah. a little bit of partnership.
Just a boost.
Yeah.
Give me a spot. So they're curious for me.
I don't mind it. I mean, Daniel Berger at his peak was a top 10 player in the world.
Right. And now he's here at 8,200 with a guy that, I mean, is striping it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm like a 6 out of 10 on that.
Okay. Yeah. They're fourth on my list. So I'm with you.
The 7K range. So there's a lot of teams here. So there's 80 teams and there's, it's a small cut, isn't it? It's like 34 in ties, 30.
I believe that I think that's right, Rick, because they try to get it to like.
They try to get like 65 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
33 in ties. Right. So they're trying to get it back down to like 65, basically.
Yeah. Because you got to have a certain number of players on the golf course. It's also why there's 80 teams. You know, it's actually normal. You just double them up, yeah. Cut it in half.
You're right. So a lot of teams here. So the top of the 7K range starts with teams like Austin Eckroat and Chris Goddard, Thorbjørn Olesen and Matt Wallace, Gary Woodland and Lee Hodges. The middle of this range will get you Harry Hall and Scott Piercy, Steve Stricker and Matt Kuchar, our defending champions, Davis Riley and Nick Hardy. And then the bottom of the range will get you names such as Eric Barnes and Harrison Endicott, Ryan Bram and Mark Hubbard. I see like Zach Johnson and Ryan Palmer down here as well. So lots of different angles we can take here.
Okay. My top angle is near the top, 7,700, Taylor Moore and Matt Neesmith.
Yep.
These guys have played together before.
Yep.
Twice and finished fourth and tied fourth.
Yep.
I think I really like Taylor Moore's game. And I know that RBC Heritage didn't go great. He did perform pretty well at the Masters with a tied 20th. I just think his game is really strong. And then Matthew Neesmith, his partner, has not been playing well at all, which is probably why they're priced the way they are. But I still think this guy has a legit game.
The good news, if you want to treat this as good news, which I will, because I also like this team and I'm going to find the silver lining here. So they have finished fourth each of the last 2 years, and Neesmith was playing like crap before both of those two.
Yeah.
And it's just maybe the spark that he needs to get Taylor Moore by his side. Moore's playing great again. I agree. I'm in on this team. I don't care if Lee Smith is struggling.
Right. And I think his skill set can help. You know, it's like it gives you a little boost. I don't know if they're going to have what it takes to win, but I think they're a valuable DFS play.
Go finish again.
Yeah. Who knows?
Take that.
All right. Now, this other team here, I really like. There's some more dart throws in this range for sure. For sure. But I really like this team of Nate Lashley and Rafael Campos.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So Campos is a guy you've liked on a couple of occasions this year, early on, especially. Like, I think you liked him in Mexico. Finished tied 38th. He finished 18th in Puerto Rico. Tied 14th at last week in Corrales. And Nate Lashley's been playing some really good golf.
I know.
He's been hitting it really well. He missed the cut at the Corrales, which I don't love. But really good player who can fill it up with birdies.
I mean, Nate Lashley was great at the Players, was great in Houston, was pretty good at in Texas. I don't know how he missed the cut in Corrales.
Yeah, I don't either. Just I guess he's an inconsistent kind of guy, generally.
Good. That's what I want.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that. I'm right there with you. So I love that team. I also like this guy's been kind of a favorite for us on this DFS episode, and it's Matty Schmid.
Yes.
Matty Schmid playing alongside Alex Smalley.
Yep.
Who I also am a fan of his game in general. It hasn't been great lately, but he did finish tied sixth last week in Corrales, and Schmid finished tied 11th.
And Schmid closed like crazy. He barely made the cut, and then he gained 7 strokes over the weekend to finish T11. Alex Smalley, who, again, I'm trying to find the silver lining on a team that I already like, has been miserable. He's missed 7 straight cuts before last week where he finished T6. So yeah, I'll take a 4-round sample size, combine it with a guy that both of us have really liked all year, ever since he switched to the long putter and started making putts. Matty Schmid's been great, and put them together, these guys will make noise. They have to.
Yeah. I kind of feel like they have a better chance of winning than Taylor Moore and Matt Neesmith. In a strange way. Winning.
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple more darts to throw. I think KH Lee and Michael Kim are an interesting name. There's not a lot to look at in the data. But Michael Kim's been okay this year. Where are they? They're there.
They're right here.
$7,600.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, Campos and Lashley and Schmid and Smalley are better values. So I probably prefer them as dart throws, but I'm interested in KH Lee and Michael Kim.
Yeah.
And what else I think that's it.
Yeah. I don't mind. Okay. So even at the top of this range, but I don't think we mentioned it, but like Ekrod and Goddard, I wish Goddard's been very bad. Ekrod's been awesome. Goddard, at least he has an elite skill set. He can drive it far, and I don't know, maybe he can fill it up. I'm like warm on that. But I agree with you on Moore and Neesmith. I agree with you on Smalley and Schmidt. Those are probably my two favorite. And then I'm willing to go to Vincent Norman and Jorge Campillo. Norman's got great talent, can fill it up, and now he gets kind of like a veteran Sherpa who can take him around the golf course, who's kind of seen it all. And outside of that, not super thrilled about this range.
No, I mean Chandler Phillips and Jacob Bridgman, but it's such a stretch that I don't think you have to stretch like that.
I would rather I'd rather play these guys in the 6K range.
There are some options.
Yeah, there are a couple teams down there.
There are stretches, but yeah, there's options.
Right. So here we are in the 6K range. So the top of it is Ben Coles, Patton Kizzire. That's one team. Vegas and Burgoon, Justin Suh, Rico Hoey. Those are all at 6,900. 6,500, that gets you like Vince Whaley, Adam Long. And then the min price guys are Austin Cook, Raul Pareda, Norman Zhang, and Ryan McCormick. I'm okay with some of these darts down here, Greg.
Me too. And there's one in particular who's at 6,100.
Whoa.
Alejandro Tosti.
Yeah. Okay. So I was looking. So 100%. This guy played a signature event last week.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Now, have
Ted
you.
Ted Potter Jr. is his partner.
Have you looked at what Ted Potter Jr. has done?
Yes.
It's not playing.
It's not anything that you want to write home about. But this is how I'm looking at this. Let's say we're at a member guest. Oh, like Ted Potter Jr. is a valuable player on your team. I believe that.
PGA Tour event.
It's a PGA Tour event. I know, but you just think like, okay, he's going to make a couple of birdies. Hopefully. And Tosti does not belong in this price range.
Yeah, he's like by far the best player in the bottom half of the field, and he's almost min-priced.
Yes, and I'm just thinking back to Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley. Like there is too much of a talent gap down here for me to look past that.
Ted, Charles Barkley, Potter.
Yeah. And comparing Phil Mickelson to Alejandro Tosti is probably not fair either. But you get what I'm saying. Like the strength can carry a team. So that team fascinates me.
It is definitely too cheap to just quickly overlook because of Ted Potter.
Right. Right.
It's at least priced in a way that makes you think about it.
Yeah. And I think Ted Potter can get the ball in the fairway. I don't know if Tosti can.
I would love to have, like, what was that phone call?
Yeah.
Between these two guys who have like zero in common.
It has to be like, I think there are players who sign up for this event and the tour does some pairing.
At the end, when it's just like, okay, there's eight guys left. Let's just match them up.
Yeah. They have to do it that way. It's not a popularity contest.
It's definitely not a popularity contest. How about Mac Meissner, Austin Smotherman? I'll pull up their numbers here.
Yeah, tell me why.
Okay, so Meissner's been okay. He had the 10th place finish at the Texas Open, a 26th at Valero, a 23rd in Puerto Rico. He did miss the cut in Houston and in Punta Cana, and he's pretty well rounded. He's a decent player. And then Smotherman, he's been bouncing around, right? I don't know what his status situation is, because he hasn't played a ton in 2024. He's got a couple of decent results. He played a Korn Ferry Tour event like 3 weeks ago and finished ninth. I just think that these guys are like these fresh Korn Ferry guys who are asked to go low constantly are dangerous in this.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
And they're cheap.
All right. I got a few more.
Okay.
What do you think about? I've been dying to see this guy play well. Callum Tarran alongside David Skins.
Who David Skins, what event was he?
The Houston Open.
Okay.
And the Cognizant Classic.
Oh, that's right.
Very and different golf courses.
Callum is turning a corner to turn a corner.
Because he finished tied 23rd last week.
Yeah. And he was missing every single cut. And now he's made three of his last four.
Yeah. And I think he's super talented. I mean, 2 years ago, I was so high on him. I could not have been more wrong. But I still think the talent's there.
I also think he got hurt, which is always it's like saying that's like saying you were wrong on Daniel Berger. It's like, well, I don't know, not really. He was hurt.
Yeah. All right. Fair. I will take that as a win for me.
Okay.
But so that team interests me. English team. also, I think up near the top of the 6K range, there's a team from the University of Southern California that has my interest in Justin Suh and Rico Hoey.
Not only are they both USC guys, I think they're both Vegas guys, and I think they play together a lot.
Yeah, this one makes a lot of sense. And I think Rico Hoey is really good.
Dude, I have heard people like not for any, they have no reason to pump this guy up, say that he's like the best driver they've ever seen.
It's pretty cool. And he's been playing well of late. I mean, tied 14th at the Valero Texas Open, tied 33rd last week. Feels like he's starting to get his feet wet. I mean, he's made 5 out of his last 6 cuts.
Smashes the ball.
Justin Suh has not been playing very well, but I think he's super talented and can get red hot on the green.
This is the Neesmith thing, right? This is like, okay, I got a buddy on my side. I am way better than what I'm playing right now. And when I'm playing well, my best attribute, putting, is pretty valuable here.
Yeah, really valuable. So it's not like, oh, well, he's going to make all the putts and Hoey's going to hit all the drives. You know, it's not like that. It's just, we're talking about the 6K range here. And these guys have really valuable skill sets and they're put together. So I think that's pretty cool.
I'm surprised to see the cooties are this low. Parker and Pearson, they both had top 20s last week, I think.
They're very low. 6,600.
Parker
finished T6.
Yeah, and he makes a ton of cuts. Pearson finished T18 and has made 4 of his last 5 cuts. He's playing at least a little bit better.
It's interesting.
That's it's very low. That's very low for two guys that are, I mean, again, there's so much, what's annoying about this event is there's so much of the intangibles, like comfort level and being comfortable from the get-go instead of starting to get comfortable on Friday afternoon of not apologizing or whatever. Like getting comfortable immediately is a real thing in this event.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I go back to it. I think these players, we talked about it a little bit last night on the podcast. These players are all so good. And yes, if you bring them out to your country club for, like I said, a member guest, they would absolutely tear it up.
Yes.
And if
every single one of these guys would smoke the guy that you think is the best guy, the best player, you know.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. And I think there's something to that when it's not all on me. It can be, it can take a little bit of stress off your shoulders. Now, it can change quickly. You get off to a bad start and you start to feel that stress again. No question about it. But I think it just raises the ability for some of these guys down in this range who look like they haven't been playing well. They're probably playing a whole lot better than you can imagine and can be a valuable piece to a team. So I'm looking for down in the 6K range in general. Like Toasty, I just think is the best player down here. So I'm willing to look into that team. Thinking Ted Potter can just give a boost. Looking at Suh and Hoey, and there's a comfort level. And there's also elite skill sets for both of those guys.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that I think go a long way. Picking down here at the bottom.
Here's what I'll say, Greg. This is not the most prestigious event in the world. However, I enjoy this. I like the match play. I like the team events. I like the different styles. And you're also going to get the range of, like I said, somebody's going to be on 59 watch. And then they are going to, and then that same team is going to miss the cut when they shoot like a 4 over an alternate shot. That is going to happen.
Fascinating to watch. And it's really, it's fun. You know, it's different. Like you said, it's not the most prestigious event. It's not going to sway my opinion on who's going to win the PGA championship.
Right.
But it's a fun, different event. And it's at a great time of year after back-to-back weeks that are pretty significant.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's going to be hard to predict. It's going to be all over the place. Just enjoy it. Just embrace it. It's going to be weird. I'm looking forward to it.
There's no better feeling than getting one of your 6K teams in the mix.
Yeah.
Like, just taking a shot at some. I don't really need a great reason. I just create a narrative in my mind and it works. That is so fun. It stinks when it doesn't, because you say, I knew. What a terrible play.
That's all right. They were 6K. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Okay. Well, listen, enjoy the week. This is going to be a lot of fun. We are rocking and rolling Tuesday for the Mega Preview Pod and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for round by round recaps. Again, there is no one and done to be made for the first cut. Run your pool one and done. Go check your rules for anything else that you might be involved in, but you might have the week off on making picks. So enjoy the time away from your computer. Big thanks to producer Troy, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there is Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the Men's Sunday Performance Jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.